Our homestretch naturalist, Brian Keating, is once again traveling the world. He's back in Africa and joins us now to share the details of his latest wildlife adventure. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Doug.
Where are you calling us from?
Well, I'm in the northern part of the Serengeti grassland ecosystem in the park in Kenya. So if you look at the whole Serengeti system, there's a little part that moves up into Kenya. It's called the Maasai Mara Reserve. And this is our third park since I talked with you guys last week. And so I've spent time in Amboseli National Park in the southern part of the country in the shadow of Mount Kilimanjaro, and then up to a private rhinoceros reserve called Lewa Conservancy. And that's within the site of the summit of Mount Kenya. And we flew into the Maasai Mara this morning in a small aircraft.
Yeah, because when we last talked to you, you were in Nairobi preparing to head to Amboseli the next morning. How did that go?
Well, we flew south in a Twin Otter for about an hour, maybe a little better than an hour. We landed on a dirt strip right in Amboseli National Park, not far from our first camp. And Doug, I had been there about 30 years ago and visited Amboseli. I hadn't been back to that park since. The last time I was there, it was extremely dry, but there's been so many good rains, so much good moisture, especially since the wet year of 2019. The effect has absolutely been profound.
How so?
Well, Lake Amboseli, which was an expanse of dry salt flat the last time I was there, was full of water this time. And man, let me tell you, it was incredible. The effect was nothing short of remarkable. Life was everywhere, Doug. With just within 5 minutes on a dirt road out from the airstrip, we came around this corner and we looked out over this shallow water landscape, and there were thousands of flamingos standing in the water, standing in the shallows, all feeding. Apparently, they had recently arrived to take advantage of the shallows, which now are shallower enough in the lake that an abundant food source has developed. And all of those flamingos likely came up from Lake Natron in Tanzania, where they nest. And Doug, remember, that's the lake my wife and I spent 3 days walking to from the highlands near the famous Ngorongoro crater several years ago. And that lake has some 2 million flamingos nesting on it. But it wasn't just the flamingos, Doug, that we saw. We had, by the time we got to camp, we had counted 45 species of birds just driving from the airstrip to the camp. Huge populations of sandpipers of various species, including plovers, and there were stilts and avocets, various geese, ducks, and ibis and herons. But it was basically the equivalent of Frank Lake in the spring, but on steroids. Right. And around our camp, and our camp was situated right in the middle of a thick acacia grove, we had some of the best dawn chorus singing at the crack of dawn the next day. And so just in total, just in the first 3 days, we saw 125 species of birds and 22 mammal species.
Wow, sounds fantastic, Brian, as always. What were some of the other highlights?
Well, you know, like the birds, the mammals have responded to the good moisture conditions, too, over the last couple of years. There was thousands of white-bearded wildebeest in large numbers, and they were seen on every wildlife drive we went on. Sometimes we would see several hundred at a time. And these wildebeest, Doug, are not the part of the population that lives in the part of the world that I'm in right now. So these wildebeest don't do the big migration. They're resident to the area. But we also saw good numbers of impala and two species of gazelle, lots of zebra, and good numbers of Cape buffalo and a few Maasai giraffe.
Any carnivores?
Yeah, Doug, on the first day, on that same initial drive from the airstrip, we saw some hyenas finishing off a zebra kill. And the reason why we knew it was a zebra kill, they picked up a chunk of the skin and walked out into the lake and actually dropped the skin into the lake. And another hyena took a big chunk of backbone out into the lake, and they dropped it in that lake, too, basically to hide it for later consumption. Hyenas are known to stash food in the water, which eliminates any odors. Mm. So they're able to store food for a few days. And we had a distant view of a well-fed cheetah. And we finished off the day with a pair of lions who were on a consort. So in other words, they were breeding.
Right.
And I missed it, Doug. I missed finishing off the day that way. But the rest of the group managed to watch them copulate. And we also saw two different species of mongoose, which are the, small carnivores that look like, small I guess ferrets would be, I guess, a good comparison. And they were patrolling the walkways around the camp looking for little invertebrates or small mammals. And we saw a couple of jackals. And on our final drive to the airport, we came across two young kits with their parents of the black-backed jackals.
Now, last week, Brian, you mentioned that Amboseli, one of the best places to observe large numbers of elephants. Did you see any this time?
We did. And there's one classic view I was hoping I would witness, and that's elephants in the foreground with the summit of Kilimanjaro in the background. And the first morning, there was all kinds of cloud cover over the summit of the mountain. And in fact, we had an intense rainstorm later that afternoon that moved through, which was quite exciting. Actually, we had to actually back our butt end of our Jeep into the rainstorm so we wouldn't get soaked. But we saw a herd of 16 elephants emerge with babies from the acacia forest, and they started to head to the water. And our guide anticipated where they were heading, and we were able to position our vehicle perfectly. And I sent you, Doug, the resulting photo that I managed to get out, a low-angle photo with the ice-capped summit of Kilimanjaro in the background and some elephants marching right by our vehicle in the foreground. I think the overall highlight was the opportunity just to sit and watch behavior. Doug, right. Goofball youngsters full of good juvenile energy, little teapot baby elephants suckling mom. We saw bulls checking out a female for potential breeding opportunities. Lots of feeding. You know, they're big-brained creatures, Doug. They're always doing something. They're often interacting with each other or playing or socializing. And, you know, and researchers have told me in the past that they're the smartest creatures on four legs. They've got a very complex society, as complex as some of the non-human primates.
Where are you off to next?
Well, I'm here in the Mara now. We just got here a few hours ago. We actually just got in from a wildlife drive where we finished off the day with the most intense experience with lions. There was several cubs, several females, a big maned male lion, all of them waking up at the end of the day. Some cool wind was coming in and they started to play and romp. And we followed them until sunset. And then we came back to camp and now we're just sitting down for dinner. So it's been quite a time already. And then later on this week, we will be heading off into Rwanda to go gorilla watching. So we'll fill you in on some of those experiences next week.
Yeah, looking forward to that conversation, Brian. I have to tell you, your pictures are spectacular. In fact, so spectacular, I thought they were Photoshopped, but obviously not. And if my lottery tickets come in, I'll join you next year. Brian, thanks for this. Have fun.
Yeah. Thank you, Doug. Enjoy.
That's our homestretch naturalist, Brian Keating. For more of Brian's stories, visit his website at greatbignature.com or his Facebook site of the same name.